ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
It's been 50 years since the biggest scandal in Australian political history.
It really is one of the most extraordinary times ever seen in the national capital.
It's a gripping story about big egos and big mistakes. It's a love story. It's a spy thriller. And there are still secrets left to uncover.
There is a document which is still under lock and key. They will not release it.
You can hear the ABC's award-winning podcast on the whole saga right now. Search for The 11th on the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Sam here. Just a quick shout out before we get started to everyone who's taken the time to fill out our listener survey. We've had a huge response, so thank you. We're going to keep it open for a few more days, so jump in if you haven't already. You can find it in the show notes or on our website. Just search for ABC News Daily. Donald Trump wants to sue a media organisation. Again. This time he's threatening a billion US dollar lawsuit against the BBC, which has frankly had one of the worst weeks in its history. The corporation's Director General and Head of News have stepped down after a furor relating to a Donald Trump documentary. Today, former ABC journalist and Professor of Journalism at UTS, Monica Attard, on what's unfolded and the future of public broadcasting. I'm Sam Hawley on Gadigal land in Sydney. This is ABC News Daily. Monica, let's first consider this documentary that went to air last year on the esteemed BBC Panorama program. Now, it has become a huge, which is probably an understatement, problem for the BBC. So just tell me, first of all, about the clip that has caused such a stir.
Well, it is quite an extraordinary story. So the documentary was called Trump, A Second Chance. And as you say, it went to air last year. It was about the January 6 events at the Capitol, which essentially was an insurrection, but let's call it at its nicest, a protest that turned extremely violent.
Yes.
And it stands accused of misleadingly splicing two separate parts of a Trump speech on that day of the insurrection to make it look like Trump, in fact, incited the riot and the storming of the US Capitol. Panorama had two sound bites. We'll walk to the Capitol and then we'll fight like hell. Those two sound bites were 50 minutes apart in his speech.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol and I'll be there with you. And we fight. We fight like hell.
Right, so it spliced together two parts of this 70-minute long speech, but they weren't originally side by side.
Right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol, and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women.
And the allegation then is that the BBC has misled viewers. It's actually accused of doctoring the clip, isn't it?
It is indeed accused of that. And I certainly think that Panorama ought to have signposted in graphics, which would have been a relatively easy thing to do, that these two comments were made 50 minutes apart.
Mm.
But the question is, did it change the substance of what he was saying, whether or not that decontextualized his comments? And I think it really, in answering that question, we've got to remember that a congressional committee which examined those events of that day in great detail over several weeks recommended criminal charges against Donald Trump.
Mm.
They concluded that, in fact, he did incite the attack.
One of the comments, though, that was missing in the BBC documentary that Trump had said during this speech, and this is what people are worried about, that he had actually asked his supporters to peacefully and patriotically make their voices heard.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. Today we will.
And it is an omission. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt that it was an editorial error and probably quite a grave one, one that could easily have happened and have been corrected, not only by Panorama, but also by the BBC, which has the most profound responsibility because it's airing the documentary. Mm. So whether or not its fact-checking processes were not employed at all or whether they were just deficient, we don't know. Yes, it was a mistake. It was a grave error, but there are very, very few media organisations that don't make errors when putting things to air or printing things in newspapers or online. Mistakes happen in journalism.
Yes.
The question is, you know, are they corrected and how fast they're corrected and what levels of accountability there are? I think the problem here is that the BBC, it took so long, it said nothing for so long.
Well, BBC Chair Samir Shah, he has accepted that an error was made.
There were some areas where we had not done such a good job, and one of them was the Panorama. Now, in hindsight, we could have acted earlier, but we didn't. So today, I have announced that we have looked into it and we have apologised.
Right. Well, Monica, as we said, this documentary went to air before last year's presidential election, but the controversy's just erupted now because there was a leaked memo which was written by an ex-editorial advisor at the BBC, Michael Prescott. Now, just tell me about that memo. What do we know was in it?
Well, this dossier that he's provided alleges a whole raft of BBC misdemeanours, according to him,
yeah,
including that its coverage of the Gaza-Israel war has been anti-Israel, which I have to say must have been welcome news for the BBC news management folk, because so far they've been very cogently accused of being anti-Palestine.
Right.
But it's also worth pointing out that in making the claim that Trump had been treated unfairly, it suggested that the BBC ought to have had an equally aggressive look at Kamala Harris to ensure editorial equivalence, which I think is a really strange thing for a journalist to say, because, of course, that's a classic case of false balance and the absence, at least, of anything clear and obvious to investigate with Harris. Mm. Now, there's a gulf between false balance and impartiality. The dossier also alleges bias in terms of the BBC's coverage of the transgender issue, which has been a very potent one in the UK. You know, there's a great deal of sensitivity about certain issues, certain subjects, and they're touch points in a broader cultural war, which we know rages in Australia, but equally rages in the United Kingdom. Mm. And these are the issues that Prescott has brought up in his dossier.
The pressure really ramped up on the BBC after this leaked memo was printed first in The Telegraph in the UK. Initially, though, Monica, senior members of the BBC, they were still defending the Trump edit, weren't they? So Tim Davey, the BBC Director General, the head of news, Deborah Turness, they were just saying, we haven't on purpose misled our audience.
Yes, and I can understand why they're arguing that as well. As I said earlier, I mean, I think this is a case where, yes, it would have been better to signpost the edit, but at the end of the day, this is a documentary which was brought together long after the Congressional Committee had found that Trump had incited that riot.
Mm.
So I don't think it's a case of misleading. I think it was an error. It was an error that should never have happened. Mm. The bit of fact-checking would have stopped. But it wasn't, I think, such an egregious mis-error that the Director General of the BBC and the head of news ought to have resigned over.
Yes.
It just seems to me that their resignations are in response to a long line of criticisms and pressure that have been coming partly due to the Gaza-Israel war. There are claims that the BBC's Middle East service has been biased against Israel. So it's a build-up of issues, I think, over time that have undermined, well, they've undermined trust in the BBC, unfortunately.
Mm. As you say, Tim Davey and Deborah Turness, they've stepped aside from their positions voluntarily. Deborah Turness, she's spoken about that decision to step aside and defended the BBC.
I stepped down over the weekend because the buck stops with me. But I'd like to make one thing very clear. BBC News is not institutionally biased. That's why it's the world's most trusted news provider. And if you'd excuse me,
why did you fail to deal with the mistakes that were made?
And see my teams. Thank you so much.
Monica, this is, of course, one of the largest scandals the BBC has been involved in its history. And it is really important, isn't it, because it goes to its impartiality. It's a publicly funded media organisation, and this could really tarnish its image among the people.
It most certainly can, because I think what's happened as well, and the same can be said of the ABC, I have to add, that over time, when you have the president of the most powerful country in the world daily accusing legacy media of being fake, of being biased, you know, of being fraudulent, even the people who don't like Trump, that message begins to stick. It begins to seep in. You've got that as a problem, but you've also got pressure building up against public broadcasting from other quarters as well. You know, there are attacks from within and externally, some of them from individuals working in the non-legacy space, some from institutions which are commercially opposed to public broadcasting. And those attacks have been really consistent, and they've really ramped up, I think, because of the Gaza-Israel war. And it really does begin to erode public trust in public broadcasters. And if you have low or insufficient institutional responses, as we've seen with the BBC on this occasion, it does damage public trust. And public broadcasters have got to be, precisely because they are publicly funded, way more robust and way more brave in facing public criticism. And I say that both of the BBC and of the ABC, to be absolutely honest.
Well, there are plenty of people, of course, that would like to see the end of the BBC done away with, right? And the ABC for that matter.
And the ABC for that matter.
All right. So just tell me then, what do you think it tells us about the scrutiny of the mainstream press during these Trump years? You know, the president, we know he says it's fake news, and he's suing a lot of news organisations at the moment. Should the public be concerned about that?
Yeah, I think we should be extremely concerned about it. And I think we need to talk about it. We're not talking about this issue of the dangers that come with a president who has a very, very loud bugle, who bellows into it on a daily basis on social media platforms, pretty much all of them, unchecked. And that we need to be able to, you know, to stand up and be brave and fight back. Because what good public interest journalism does, particularly as practiced by public institutions like the BBC and the ABC, is produce journalism according to a methodology that is tried and true. And it does incorporate objectivity, impartiality, fairness. Yes, it makes mistakes. When it makes mistakes, it should correct them. When it doesn't correct them in a timely manner and is seen to be unaccountable, that's problematic and his role. But by and large, public broadcasters do correct themselves and do put to air public interest journalism that has been soundly gathered. And we've got to stand up for that. I think it's very easy for people to critique public broadcasters, but they don't imagine a world where those public broadcasters don't exist. I can't imagine an Australia in which the ABC doesn't exist, nor the UK where the BBC doesn't exist. So people have got to start and have to be reminded of the fact that this is something that is actually worth defending.
Well, Monica, as you say, of course, the media needs to be held to account. Public broadcasters need to be held to account, and they need to acknowledge if mistakes are made, if errors are made, you know, heads need to roll. But do you think there is a risk in this environment that media organisations could start censoring in some way their reporting?
I think they already are, actually, Sam, to be honest. I think censorship is a very, very big problem. We're seeing that certainly in the United States. You know, there is a doubling down on accuracy, which is what media should be doing in any event. But there is a pervasive sense of, you know, maybe I'm best not to say that at all. And, you know, the public broadcasters and the BBC, for example, at the moment, have got to find a way to respond to that pressure. But I think the fight back is journalists maintaining their commitment to objectivity and impartiality and fairness as they execute their journalism. And if they keep on doing their journalism according to those standards and show their audiences what they're doing, then trust can slowly be restored. In this case, the BBC could have come out and said, our fact-checking before we put that documentary failed us. We're sorry. We don't believe it changed the context of this documentary because Trump was found to have done this. There were ways to overcome the problem, but they didn't do that at the time. I think that is the problem.
Monica Attard is a professor of journalism and co-director of the Centre for Media Transition at the University of Technology, Sydney. This episode was produced by Sydney Peed and Jessica Wukyanov. Audio production by Cinnamon Nippard. Our supervising producer is David Cody. I'm Sam Hawley. Thanks for listening.